I like big butts, I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung, 'cause you notice that butt was stuffed. You pull up tough, deep in the jeans she's wearing. What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside that trunk. I'm a get.
Welcome, everybody, to the Midweek Tug.
I'm Tommy. Welcome. I'm Bear.
And I think we're the unrefined guys still.
I believe so.
Did you bleep so?
I believe so.
That video screwed me when you sent it to me.
Why?
Because I was like, oh, yeah, some Simon and Garfunkel. Here we go. And then I'm hearing Sir Mix-a-Lot. And I went, I don't think that's the right one, Tommy. I think we got us a mistake here.
No, that was great. I thought that was perfect for the midweek.
I thought it was too, especially because we don't plan shit ever.
No.
We never know what we're going to talk about until we sit down and hit record, and then sometimes even then we screw it up. We've never screwed it up because there's no script.
There's no script.
So some days are just more interesting than others, that's all. But I got to thinking about this, and I remember as kids, we used to, man, if you gave us a song, we would screw it up.
Yeah, we are one of our biggest, we were fans of, I should say, was Weird Al.
And Weird Al.
His parodies were, you know, where we got the idea and we started fucking with songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then, you know, there was also Cletus T. Judd, who came along, who unfortunately was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
He did for country what Weird Al did for parody.
And pop.
And pop. And, you know, it was short-lived, unfortunately. But, man, he had some great...
He did.
...messing around with the countries. But then you look back at Weird Al, and, you know, everybody has their own idea of when Weird Al became a staple for them. I think mine was Eat It.
Yeah.
And then...
Because we were older, so yeah. That was the one that launched us into some of his albums.
I remember, and we were anomalies. Nobody in school would admit it out loud.
No, we...
I'm sure they were listening to it. We were just the ones going, fuck you, it's funny.
Exactly.
We would... So we rode around, and I think it was a 68 or a 71. I don't remember the year of that Dodge pickup.
Yeah, I thought it was like a 75-ish.
Maybe it was. And it was old. It was ugly. I remember a lot of my friends were like, oh, that's terrible. Why would you drive it? I said, because I don't want to walk like you are.
You drive what you can.
Yeah, right? You know, and I liked it because that truck, it looked like crap. But when you stepped on the gas pedal, it paid attention.
It was a sleeper, yeah.
And you could, allegedly, if my parents are listening, I'm guessing.
That's statute of limitations, man. And what are they going to do to you?
I'd get grounded. You
they
know my mother.
They would try to ground you.
They would find a way to make it happen. That thing would peel rubber from a dead standstill on dry pavement for a half a block.
Yeah.
And I heard it might do that.
Allegedly it does that. Or did that.
So we decided, even though it was my mom's vehicle, you know, we messed around, and your brother was definitely a big help of putting some sound inside of that cab without going too much into the money pocket. And we would jam some crazy stuff. We were jamming loud rock.
Yeah.
We were jamming Two Live Crew.
It depended on the crowd around us.
Yeah, or what kind of mood we were in.
Because we would always go with the opposite of the crowd that was right? around us. Oh. It was a bunch of gangbangers, we were jamming country, you know, or metal.
I got to tell you, the kids today will never grasp what it would be like to pull into a parking lot full of people, because we used to cruise.
Yeah.
And
when
know
it was legal.
Know that you were pulling into a group of rock in, you know, influence folks, or a group of hip hop, or a group of rap, and we would pull in, and just Garth Brooks never sounded so crisp and concert like,
right?
And it always, everybody's like, oh, here comes Tommy and Bear.
They gotta fuck up our rhythm. Yeah.
And once in a while, we'd feel the itch, and we'd jam Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Nothing like the Amish paradise to get you in the mood.
Right?
It, you know, people will never understand that.
Well, and what we're playing is what they consider a mashup.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they, I don't know how they did it, but they, Pro Tools, they used AI also to use Simon and Garfunkel singing.
Use their voices.
Yeah. To sing Sir Mix-a-Lot's Big Butts with the track of...
Hello, Darkness.
Sound of Silence.
Sound of
Hello,
Silence.
Darkness. Yeah, thank you. So it was awesome.
It's never going to be as awesome as Disturbed's version. But no, like I said, when I heard it, I was like, oh, that is crisp. I like the guitar. I don't claim to be a music fanatic, though I enjoy all kinds of music. I enjoy...
You know when it's good.
I do. Yeah. And if...
Or
if
catchy, whatever you want to call
catchy,
it.
Catchy, good, or it just appeals to my ear. And the crispness of that guitar when it first started, I would have never... I thought I was about to hear a cool version of Sound of Silence, and instead I heard a cool version of Baby Got Back. And this morning when you came in and we were getting ready and set up, I said, let's just try a music one and we'll just talk music.
Yeah.
You know, we're not experts on anything.
No, but we have opinions.
Yep. Everything you're about to hear is our opinion, and just because we say it doesn't make it so.
No.
But
we just spent some time scouring TikTok and YouTube and finding some mashups that we thought were pretty cool.
There's a mashup.
Uh-oh.
Well, we'll wait on this.
Did your battery just die too?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. We'll wait on that one.
We'll wait on this one. We got a couple of songs that we pushed in, and there's a guy on, I got to remember. This is so weird the way this board's set up. A Stream Deck would be really cool.
Yeah.
But we got to get the video first. Here was a good one that we hit. It took a little bit just because... This one,
we had to edit a little.
I had to edit it, and it's still, that intro is really long, but
yeah,
you can hear it right from the start.
Yeah, you know what song this is.
Every white wedding has this.
I'm sure, especially this one.
Every white person's wedding, anyway.
Every bar in the 80s.
Every bar last week.
Yeah,
maybe
they don't have this,
but you will now see. Why does this work?
I don't know.
The funny thing about it is when you
think about Nelly, he's kind of from the South.
Well,
St. Louis isn't considered South
country grammar.
Yeah,
right. Nelly's big hit to mixing was when he teamed up with Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
God, I can't remember the name of the song right now. Cruise. And when Cruise came out from Florida Georgia Line, if my memory serves correctly, and we know that plays games on me all the time. I think it was around 2012.
Okay.
It didn't get really big until about 13 at the end, but I can recall bands in the backyard. Tommy G Productions used to do this big thing on his restaurant property. Pissed off a lot of neighbors.
Oh, wow.
And one year he decided he was going to bring in like 7 country acts and make it a day-long event. Had this big setup, and the headliner was Gary Allen. Well, Gary Allen's been around since early 90s,
right.
Even maybe the late
80s. Yeah.
And when Gary Allen first tried to break into the country music scene, he had a couple of hits that, you know, they got up there in the charts, but they didn't quite make it. And then I think it was 94 he wrote Smoke Rings in the Dark, and it just, he exploded.
Takes one.
Yeah, and Gary Allen's always been the type that he didn't write songs to make hits. He wrote songs to get plays.
Okay.
So, you know, he Smoke Rings in the Dark, still one of the biggest hits he's ever had. He's got Watching Airplanes, which for the longest time I couldn't stand that song. And then, you know, like with most things, the more you dislike it, the more catchy it becomes. And the next thing you know, you're singing it all the time.
And then you dig your heels in for a little while of, I hate this song, I can't stand it. And then when you wait a few years when nobody's paying attention, then you're jamming it.
Eminem was big on me like that. I wasn't a big fan of Eminem's in the beginning. But after a while, it just got to a point where the catch, the tune, the hook... and then when you listen, look, and I don't want to get too deep and philosophical, but when you listen to the words of Eminem's music,
oh, yeah.
They're deep. They're very deep. And for a guy who
I'm not a rap professional or know a whole lot about rap, but I will admit that his lyrics are amazing.
Very much.
And the double entendres and the double meanings, triple meanings on some of the things he says, it's just insane.
Always. I don't want to say always, because some of his songs just don't do it for me. But when we would listen to music, I think it was a mixture in school anyway. It was partially a mixture of shock value sometimes. Yeah.
That's the only reason we jammed Two Life Crew.
Right.
Piss off everybody else around us.
They could. What song was it that they took? It was about the whores. And they used a different. They used the music from a.
I think you're talking about the Led Zeppelin song that they turned into one of their songs.
Could be. We'd have to look it up, but I'm sure we'd probably get. We wouldn't get kicked off anything, but it'd sure piss a lot of people off. Two Life Crew was the shock value. I think that they were the ones that really got the government looking at music, because it was Two Live Crew that got that black and white label.
Yeah, parental advisory.
Parental advisory put on albums in the late 90s because their music was rough. Broward County, Florida, they were arrested for performing.
Yeah.
Because of freedom of speech. And they fought diligently. They fought hard. And I don't know this to be true, though it makes sense in my head that they did it purposefully.
Yeah.
To bring it to the forefront, because then you had the likes of Tipper Gore.
Oh, yeah. And whatever that league was.
Right. Well, the Tipper Gores. And then she was on the Democrat side, I believe. Or maybe it was Republican. I don't remember. But I remember the religious and the evangelicals coming out full bore. Just against all of this. And about that time, George Michael had I Want Your Sex.
Yeah. And they made it out to be something that totally it wasn't.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. They made it out as they always do, politicians will mess it up. Getting politicians involved in music, I thought was, back then, I thought it was an interesting dynamic and maybe necessary. Until I grew up and understood government a little more, and I realized that music is art.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think
about... It's like putting a label on David or...
Right.
Or any of those...
Or Van Gogh painting.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't... There's not need for it. It's an expression, and you either like it or you don't. Look, I don't have a big affinity for walking through an oil canvas... display of art, because it's just somebody's impression of what they saw in a moment. There are certain pieces of
art. That's what art is.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And it's their impression of it.
Right.
Because you and I could look at one event and come away two totally different interpretations of it.
I know when we were younger and we had those days at church where they would sit us down and tell us we can't listen to this because it has evil things in it. And if you play it backwards, it's the devil telling you to do that.
Blah, right.
Blah, blah. We purposely, I shouldn't put you in there with me, but I know you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Went out purposely and bought those albums. We knew they were full of shit.
Right.
You know, because one of the ones was... Master of Puppets from Metallica. It was one of the albums that your mom was like, don't listen to this. It's the devil's music. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. That's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I didn't hear that either.
And so I got the album and then, you know, because they used to give you the lyrics on the albums. They still do, but it's hit and miss. record, which is vinyl. Anyway, back when.
Back before electricity.
And then I read the lyrics for the song Master of Puppets, and I was like, it's not talking about the devil being the master of you. It's talking about drugs.
Yeah. You know, I remember one that she had a problem with was, I don't even remember how old I was, but I had a Teddy Ruxpin.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Ruxpin, for those of you who don't know, was this little bear that had a cassette recorder.
It was so fun to fuck with.
Butthole. Well, it wasn't in his butthole, but
it was in his back.
Pulled down the back of his drawers. You unflap his butt, and there was a tape recorder there, and his eyes would move, and his mouth would very poorly move to the lyrics, so it was like Teddy Ruxpin was telling the story.
Right.
If you put Teddy Ruxpin cassette tapes in it. I put AC/DC Quiet Riot in it. That was a hoot to me, and I think I was like eight. And my mother was just, no, if you play that backwards, it's the devil worshippers and yada, yada, yada. And look, let's be honest, AC/DC probably had their own problems. I don't think Satanism was it.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was alcohol and drugs. But the lyrics to me said something different. The tune of the music was what caught me in most times. Rarely, and I don't want to say rarely, the words always got to me later.
True. That's because, usually the case with most songs.
I was always listening for catchy tunes.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not a fan of Kiss's music.
True.
Though some of the songs that I've heard, not necessarily the lyrics, musically, they speak to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah. She just.
I'm not a huge fan of Rage Against the Machine because of their politics.
Well, they
but they have some really fucking songs. And right now, their songs are
right now they're raging for the machine, which is so weird.
Yeah, considering their anarchist views.
You think back to John Kerry, who, for those who aren't aware, is a retired, I don't remember if he was a senator or congressman. He ran for president in 2004, I believe. Against George W. Lost. he retired, and then Biden brought him in to be the climate envoy. He flew around the world in his private jet talking about not flying and carbon footprints and climate change. So, yeah. Anyway, John Kerry was a huge, huge anti-Vietnam guy, and he fought in Vietnam.
He has a right to be anti-Vietnam.
He does.
In my opinion.
He became very anti-establishment until he started getting paid for it.
Right. Well, that's the case. Yeah.
Jane Fonda. Very similar situation. She was very anti-establishment until, and now she's all for fighting a war in Ukraine. She's all for arming Israel with American tax dollars, and she's all for those things. And it's just funny how music tends to change some folks, and in other folks, it's not the music, it's the money.
Yeah.
I think for you and I know especially for me, my taste in music is very wide. It's very diverse. Yeah.
Both of us are pretty eclectic when it comes to our music taste.
Oh, I would say for sure. For instance,
you ride in the car with me and listen to my playlist.
Deadmau5.
Yeah.
I'm not huge in EDM.
Me neither, but there's some catchy shit.
He's got some catchy tunes. However, he wrote an entire symphony that has not one musical instrument in it. It's all done digitally. It's all by the computer.
It's pretty good.
It's amazingly good. It's not your traditional classic, but it's certainly not digital either.
Yeah, it's not his EDM stuff.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the country. It's the music that hits first, and then the words you realize sometimes are pretty pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the older days it was. Today it's getting to more mainstream. Still some great catchy tunes. And then, you know, rock. Rock to me has always been about expressing not only my thoughts, but sometimes the feelings.
Yeah.
Which is not something that always happens in music.
That's one thing I like about the new metal or new rock, whatever you want to call it, is a lot of these artists are coming out now and talking about mental health and their struggles with, or other people struggle with. One band that is people don't realize that when they're singing their songs that are talking about mental health and mental illness is Shinedown. If you listen to most of their songs, they're talking about the struggle of dealing with mental illness.
I don't think I've ever heard many of their songs.
No, you have.
I've heard a few of them.
You just don't realize that they were them. That was them.
You brought to me, I'm going to turn this down for a second so I don't blow anybody out. You brought a song, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, and you didn't tell me anything about it. And let's see if I can find it.
Out of the two of us, sorry, Tommy.
No, that's
okay. Out of the two of us, I am definitely more into music than you are. And I'm more into listening to it. I don't play anything. I don't even. But I'm all over the place whatever I listen to. I listen to pop music all the way to, you know, rap, hip hop, all the way to, you know, some country and some every once in a while classical if it catches me right.
I definitely have to be in a mood for classical. But you're right. It's a mood and it has to hit me. It's that one right there, right?
It just says high. It's the high one.
Okay. You brought this to me, and I got to be honest, when I first heard it, I was like, that's a bit rough. But I listened to it, and it's a 9-minute song.
It is.
And every bit of it is incredible.
The visuals.
Yeah, the visuals.
The lyrics.
Everything about it.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you how people can be very, what's the word I'm looking for? They can multifaceted in their talent.
Yeah.
This guy is, his name's Ren.
Ren, yeah.
He's a British
hip-hop
artist. Yeah. It's mostly hip-hop, but I think he probably crosses the lines of genre.
Yeah.
I've listened to some of his other stuff. He tells an entire story about his battle with mental illness. But this song that Bear brought to me, at first, you have to understand our relationship is... when I would end up crashing on his couch, the way that I was woke up each morning was to music. And I could often, and it took a little bit, but once I realized I could tell what kind of day we were going to have based on what was playing that morning. And so
that's not untrue.
No. And it was just, you know, it became part of what we did. If we were drinking beers, there was music playing. If we were riding around, there was music playing. If we were at the park, somebody had, radio, and
we always brought some kind of equipment to play music.
Yeah, and it's crazy how music does play such an intricate role, if you really stop to think about it, in most people's lives, but they don't realize it. This particular one, we can't play a lot of it.
It's too long.
It's 9 minutes and 20 seconds. But if you've got a chance, regardless of whether you like rap or hip hop or whatever, listen to it. And I really encourage you, unfortunately, we can't show the video, but I really encourage you to watch the video because you'll hear it. I hope we'll play enough of it that you can see the switch because he's telling a story from two sides.
Yeah.
So take a listen to this real quick. We'll just play a little bit so we don't get ourselves in too much trouble.
You might want to fast forward through the intro.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. It's a great song. Super catchy.
And he can play guitar.
Oh, yes, he can. And it's a classical guitar.
Yeah. That's the one thing I found intriguing.
Yeah. I like the style guitar changes when he plays it. I think if we're going to do this correctly, we have to stop it for a minute, I think.
Yeah.
And talk for a second.
Yeah.
So we don't get our asses in trouble for infringement.
We don't get copyrighted.
Yeah. So we just stopped it for a second and talked.
Do you remember watching the video on that?
Yes,
I do.
Can you describe what is going on at this point?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Well, let me say this. I'll say what happens to this point.
Okay.
What you see is kind of a dilapidated, what it looks like.
Before you go any further, right now, if you get a chance and you want to put us on pause, if you want to put us on pause,
definitely,
I would go and check out this video. The video is, his name is Ren, and the song is called Hi Ren.
Ren,
R-E-N. H-I, like hello.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's Hi Ren, R-E-N.
Check out the video.
Put the link for it.
I don't know why that just started over, but I'm gonna move it in here to about a minute and change, but
because that was a bizarre opening there.
It is.
It's a very bizarre
opera.
Because, so again, he's
in a mental institution.
That's what the portrayal is. It's all that you see is a mirror. I'm sorry, not a mirror, a lamp on a nightstand in the corner off to behind him.
Yeah.
And then what appears to be like maybe a hall door or something,
bathroom
doorway.
Yeah.
To the other side of him, and it's kind of beat up. It almost looks like somebody went to an abandoned house and kind of set up a place to stay. He gets wheeled in an old school type of wheelchair.
Yeah.
He's in a hospital gown.
Yep.
Somebody's wheeling him in, and they turn him towards the camera, and he's just sitting there. His hair's a bit disheveled, and he starts to play, and the playing to me got chills as soon as I heard it.
Yeah.
What you'll notice in this, if you haven't watched this yet, and like Bear said, it's worth a pause on us, go to YouTube, look up High Ren and watch the video, listen to the words of it, and watch how he's able to switch characters. Yep. And you know when it's coming.
Yeah.
You'll know exactly why. And so because of copyright, we have to do shit like this. So just bear with us.
Hi there, Ren. It's been a little while. Did you miss me? You thought you buried me, didn't you? Risky. Cause I always come back. Deep down, you know that. Deep down, you know I'm always in periphery. Ren, are you pleased to see me? It's been weeks since we spoke, bro. I know you need me. You're the sheep, I'm the shepherd. Not your place to lead me. Not your place to be batting off the hand that feeds me.
Hi, Ren. I've been taking some time to be distant. I've been taking some time to
the way he switches
every time.
I've been taking some time to be by myself since my therapist told me I'm ill. And I've been making some progress lately. And I've learned some new coping skills. So I haven't really needed you much, man. I think we need to just step back and chill. Ren, you sound more insane than I do. You think that those doctors are really there to guide you? Been through this a million times. Your civilian mind is so perfect, they're always being lied to. Okay, take another pill, boy. Drown yourself in the sound of white noise. Follow this 10-step program, rejoice. All your problems will be gone. Fucking dumb boy.
See what I'm saying?
The first time I watched this, I was fixated.
You were taken aback.
Oh yeah. And it's for so many different reasons. Musically, it's very, I hate to say that it's plain.
Oh, it's stripped down.
It's very just the guitar.
Yeah.
It's very minimalistic, I guess, and it needs to be.
Yeah. That visual will, it tells the story by itself.
The visual tells the story. The music tells the story. And if you've got to watch him.
Well, the fact that he can switch characters and you can hear it in the two different voices, and you know, you can tell he's having a conversation in his head.
Right.
It's not an actual conversation. This is what goes on in his head.
And you don't even need to see the video to figure that piece out.
Yeah.
I think if I had only heard the song, I might have thought, at least in the beginning, that it was two different people.
Right.
Certainly isn't.
The thing I love about this the most is that there is no track. No. It's just the guitar.
Just the guitar. And the best part about it, besides the actual song itself and the story that it tells, at the end, he goes in and he says, listen, we all have demons.
Yep.
And
we should force forward to that part and play that part. But I would play a little bit more of the song first.
I'm moving it up just a little bit so that you can get some more into this.
It's a good idea. That way we're not going to get copyrighted also. Yeah.
So you might catch in the middle, but let's see if we can get this going.
And mate, we've heard it all before. Oh, she sells seashells on the seashore. Fuck you. I don't need you. I don't need to hear this. Because I'm fine by myself. I'm a genius. And I will be great. And I will make waves. And I'll shake up the whole world beneath it. That's right. Speak your truth. Your fucking God complex leaks out of you. It's refreshing to ask for you. Say it instead of downplay it.
Music is all about the creative process. And if people can find something to relate to within that, then that's just
the
bone.
He makes fun of himself.
Fuck you. I'ma fucking kill you, Ren. Well, fucking kill me then. Let's fucking have you, Ren. I'ma do it. Watch me prove it. Who are you to doubt my music? Cause I call the shots, I choose if you die. Yeah, I call the shots, and so I choose who survives. I'll tie you up in knots when I lock you inside. Newsflash. I was created at the dawn of creation. I am temptation. I am the snake in Eden. I am the reason for treason, beheading all kings. I am sin with no rhyme or reason. Son of the morning, Lucifer, Antichrist, father of lies. Mephistopheles, truth in a blender, deceitful pretender, the banished avenger, the righteous surrender. When standing in front of my solar eclipse, my name is stitched to your lips. So you see, I won't bow to the will of a mortal, feeble and normal. You wanna kill me? I'm eternal and mortal. I live in every decision that catalyzes chaos, that causes division. I live inside death, the beginning of ends. I am you, you are me, I am you, Ren.
Wow.
You can feel his struggle.
Yeah.
Even without watching it, you can feel.
I worked in a field that we dealt with mental health pretty regularly. And early on in my career, I sat on a steering committee and how to address folks who are in mental crisis.
Right.
And part of that steering committee on how we were going to teach folks to deal with this, it was learned from another state and we used it, was we would get mental health crisis actors.
okay,
who would come in and be able to realistically act in the way that a schizophrenic.
So a real world kind of
right. So that the scenario. People, the people doing the quote unquote role plays, would be able to feel a little bit concerned, a little bit confused, and feel a little bit torn because, let's be honest, our impression as society of schizophrenic is very specific, but there are people walking around that you probably interact with who are schizophrenic and you don't know it.
Yeah.
And so having those crisis actors come in to act it out was one thing. But to see this, the way he's produced this to be in the song and in the video really, really gives you an idea. When he talks about then kill me, is that what folks who are, you know, going through that mental crisis, or is that what they're hearing when they're in this place of I'm either going to be better or I'm going to end it?
Right.
It's crazy how
manic depressants and bipolar people go through those stages
right
quite often. And there's a lot of people out there that suffer from that condition. You know, it's amazing to me having an artist like this just put it out there. And this is what I'm struggling with. This is why I'm the way I am. And the way he does the song and the way it's written, the fact that he can change voices
right
and show you the two sides, you know, it's amazing that there, and it helps, and it shines a light on the help that some of these people need.
It's refreshing that somebody, and he's not a big time popular artist right now.
He's independent.
He's very independent, but you're seeing more artists and not just music, but generally more artists and more people come out and say, look, this is what I deal with. And kind of in a similar situation that you and I've talked about quite a bit, every person who succeeds, every person who has gotten to a good point, we don't know what they had to fight to get to that point.
Right. It wasn't just handed to them.
Right. And that's not necessarily about mental health. It's not necessarily about trials and tribulations, but everybody goes through something. We've all been through something, you know. One of the things that I try to remind myself often when I'm having a really shitty day, because it's always in that moment, it's the worst ever.
Yeah.
And I try my hardest to remind myself, the last time you had a really shitty day, you made it.
Yeah,
You got through it. And when this guy, Ren, really puts a face to it, he tells probably to some degree everybody's story, because those voices in our head, even if it's not mental illness, it's our own voice.
Yeah.
We are our worst critics.
It's a manifestation of somebody in your life.
Sure.
That may have told you you're not enough, that you're never going to be what you thought you were going to be. You're not good enough, whatever that may be. And this is the struggle of fighting that voice that is portrayed in your head from some family member way back when, or maybe even now,
right,
that you're fighting against. You know, you are enough.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight for it, but you can do it.
Sometimes the worst than the family member or loved one that's telling you, sometimes the worst part is
you.
It's you telling you. And I know I've been in that position.
Me too.
I think we all have. This is now, I've kind of moved it forward a little bit. This is the point where I think the music has stopped. I'm just going based off looks, but he talks about this a little bit, and I think it's impactful and important.
His statement is pretty awesome.
It ties it all together. And if we get hit with a copyright, we'll manage it, because it's about a minute and a half. It is what it is. So he's just stopped and set the guitar down.
That I would defeat the forces of evil. And for the next 10 years of my life, I suffered the consequences. With autoimmunity, illness, and psychosis. As I got older, I realized there were no real winners and there were no real losers in psychological warfare. But there were victims. And there were students. It wasn't David versus Goliath. It was a pendulum, eternally swaying from the dark to the light. And the more intensely that the light shone, the darker the shadow it cast. It was never really a battle for me to win. It was an eternal dance. And like a dance, the more rigid I became, the harder it got. The more I cursed my clumsy footsteps, the more I struggled. So I got older, and I learned to relax. And I learned to soften, and that dance got easier. It is this eternal dance that separates human beings from angels, from demons, from gods. And I must not forget, we must not forget, that we are human beings.
There you go.
Wow. I still, look, I've probably...
Every time I hear that, I get the chills, I get the goosebumps.
Yeah, I've probably listened to this at least a dozen or more times, and I always get chills.
Do you find yourself watching that or listening to that, especially on those days you're having a rough day? I do. And when I do that, when I do play it, it helps me get out of the funk that I'm in for that day.
I don't know that I've ever intentionally done it, but I would imagine that because when I do listen to it, I kind of find a groove.
Yeah.
And I guess I've never really thought about it. Maybe that is what kind of helps propel me through the rest of the day. But it's the fascinating thing about music.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of this, some of the worst days that you've had, even if I'm listening to depressing music or feel sorry for myself music or whatever, I find that I'm able to kind of just keep going. Even if it's, you know, the dog died, the truck broke down, the wife left me, you know, all of that shit. For some reason, the music just kind of gives me a motivation to move.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and I find that the music, like, why is it that we listen to depressing music when we're depressed or angry music when we're angry? I find that gives me an emotional outlet, even within my own head, without having to lash out at people specifically.
I thought it was just misery loved company.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's because you want to validate your emotions. This is why you listen to
music.
Right,
right. Like, I need to be angry, or I need to cry, or I need to do whatever. And listening to the music helps you let that out.
So here's an honesty moment for me. There are times, though it's not frequent, where I'll listen to maybe a new song, or I'll actually listen to the words of a song that I've heard a couple of times or whatever. And I mean, I'm not a crier per se, but man, I'll get choked up.
Right.
I'll be like, oh man, that's deep. Maybe I needed to hear that.
Right.
You know, or even, you know, it stung, or, hey, open your eyes. This is what you're doing. You're creating this problem.
You're not alone in this feeling.
Or you're not alone in this feeling. And it's funny because there's times where I get angry when somebody says, yeah, I can't imagine, but this one irritates me a little bit, and I'm guilty of it, and I don't realize it until I do it, but it could be worse. Well, no shit, it could be. But right now,
it fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, to me, this is really bad right now. Well, it could be worse. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Others have it worse. I'm being selfish right now.
Right.
This is what I want. This is what I
need. Just let me feel this
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
I did have to tell someone that, though, when we were in a public space and we were at Plasma, donating plasma. And this guy, he was having a rotten day, but he just kept going on and on and on and on and on about what a terrible day he was having. Terrible day. He has got a flat tire. He can't make it to all the things. And it's stuff that happens to all of us at some point. And he's just, it couldn't be worse unless I was in jail. I'm like, well, it could. He could be dead.
Sure. I
told him
me,
that. He kind of shut up.
I imagine it probably.
You can't really argue
it
that point.
It blows my mind, the people that don't think I'm still breathing.
Right? Yeah.
Because I found with me, when I have those days, I believe sincerely that I bring more of it to myself. So when I have, the flat tire, I'm angry, I'm upset, and then my mood kind of attracts
other shitty things.
It definitely puts the magnifying glass on other things that you probably never noticed, but it's been going on for days.
Right.
But that now the magnifying glass is on that, and you're like, fuck, on top of my flat tire, I got to deal with this shit too. Well, it kind of goes with my theory of you allow yourself to be that way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the song that I sent you, it's probably a good time to play it. The don't piss on my parade.
Oh, right.
So you choose the emotion that you're feeling at that time.
Perfect. So yeah. The other night, I was telling you guys, I was leaving work. My truck started beautifully. It ran like she always does, ran like a champ. I stopped at the Stop and Rob just about 3 or 4 blocks from the house, went inside, got a drink, came out, and sucker wouldn't start. It cranked. It did everything it was supposed to.
It would have got you home if you didn't stop for the convenience store.
I would have gotten home, but that created its own set of problems. I didn't think about that at the time, but had I gotten home, I would have had to have found a way, $150 tow, to get my truck back to the garage, which is about 3 blocks away.
Yeah. So it crapped out where it was supposed
to. It petered out where it needed to, and in my head, I was angry because it's raining like crazy.
Yeah.
Other things that had happened, you know, it was just a rough day. It wasn't a miserable day, but I kept thinking to myself as I was walking in the rain with an umbrella, thankfully, that I had, at least it broke down where it did.
Yeah. Because it could have been at work.
Right. And in my mind, I'm thinking, look, if it's this problem, it's not going to be too super expensive. If it's this problem, it won't be too super expensive. You know, all the things in my head, the thinking, you know, and of course, it's probably going to be the most expensive one, which still isn't horrible, but it sucks.
Yeah.
But instead of just kicking the rain and kicking the puddles and making myself more miserable, I thought, okay,
yeah, you,
it's not so bad.
You choose to lift yourself out of that funk.
But all of that comes, you sent me the Simon and Garfunkel that turned out to not be Simon and Garfunkel. And
we both jammed that song.
Oh, no doubt.
When that first came out, Baby Got Back was the name of the song.
100 times.
Oh, we jammed that song because we have a taste in
very
our women.
Much so.
So it fit us at the time.
They'll always ask me, are you a boob leg or a boob man or a leg man? And I was like,
But.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't an option. That's all. That's
asked.
It. I just need a butt.
Technically, you're a leg man.
Right. So this morning when I was uploading it, everybody knows I have a bad problem, so I don't mess with TikTok.
Right.
If somebody sends me a TikTok, I watch what they send and I shut
it. Yeah.
You sent me this, I'm uploading it, and I swiped.
Yeah.
And I knew it was over.
Yeah, it was your fault.
It was my fault. I swiped and I fell into this, I guess because we were listening to music. Or because I had downloaded music that was
it the Baby Bo- or
different
Baby Got Back
yeah,
song?
Yeah. Okay. So I guess because it was different, I ended up finding mashups and I came across this guy, Cooper Allen.
Yeah. Which Karen and I have known about for a while, and Karen's a huge fan of him.
I love him.
First off, let me just say, what a stupid name.
Sorry, Cooper.
Shouldn't it be Alan Cooper? I mean, it's really weird when parents give their children 2 first names or 2 last names.
We don't know if that is his true last name.
I'm sure, perhaps, but it's still, I'm not saying it's stupid. I guess that's the wrong word. It's just weird. I think of like AC
it
Delco.
It feels backwards.
If you were to say Delco AC, would that be right?
No, it feels backwards.
Or if you were to say King Burger, it's just odd. So anyway, as I'm swiping, I find this song and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That is a perfect song for everybody to just start your day with that song. I loaded it. And then you walked in. I told you were an asshole because I was still on Twitter or on TikTok. And I'd been on it for like an hour. And you said, oh, well, you should try this song. And I was like, already on there.
Okay.
Because it was a great song. So this is, I've looked. I can't find it if he's written the whole thing yet.
I don't know if he did. I think it was just he was trying to, because there's a couple people that do that. They release a verse.
Right, to see if they
it's got traction.
I don't know how this one could not. This is like...
Well, and his main style is he's just doing these real size things.
Right.
Is mostly. He does have
well,
some...
he was.
Yeah, he does have some original songs out, and there's one that
I think this is an original.
Oh, yeah.
Came up with.
It is.
Well, I mean, like full length.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Songs, actual songs, and not just mashups.
So he's touring right now.
Yeah.
And when I first looked, I was like, at some of his tour dates, I saw Everywhere But Here, and then I found a couple pages later, he was here in Denver.
Yeah.
Last month, I think.
I think February 16th.
Yeah, we just missed it.
And
she asked me to go.
I would have totally went and saw this guy. He's got a couple of songs that are full length that I don't want to say in love with, but I'm in love with them.
They're cool. Yeah,
they're real catchy. And he's
and more, I'm not a country fan, yeah, but I like his style.
He does have a unique flair to it that makes it a little bit less or a little bit more tolerable for those who don't like country.
Right.
He,
let's call him pop country.
Cop.
Well, he's got a sense of humor about his music. So one thing I love about it.
You can tell his sense of humor here.
Ain't no asshole gonna make me feel like hell today. No POS gonna take a piss on my parade. I got too much life to live and too few shits to give. Ain't no asshole gonna make me feel like hell today.
That should be our theme song.
Right?
That's gonna be my alarm wake up.
I wonder if he'd allow us to adopt that.
Make
that our theme song. I mean, you know, I know we've got our opening song that everybody kind of
knows
yeah, us, and we've got our closing song, but maybe we should just. We just need
that's
a whole bank of music, and no, you're not raining on my parade.
That's what everybody should tell themselves before they leave the house.
Here's the funniest part about it. I'd need to sing it to myself first because yeah, I'm a sabotager. I have that self-saboteur.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot better about recognizing it and telling them to go sit in the corner, play with yourself or something, but leave me alone.
Right.
And then I feel weird that somebody's playing with themselves
in the corner. Yeah, you know? It's kind of weird.
It's awkward. But he's got a couple of like when you go to his TikTok, and I don't know if we're going to get in trouble for this. I mean, we're promoting him, so hopefully we don't.
But I don't think he'd say anything.
He does. He's got this buddy of his. I can't remember his name, but they do some songs together. I think he's Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
Not Cooper, but the other
not
guy.
Not Cooper, right, the other guy, because Cooper's from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he makes it well known, except he wears a Dallas Cowboys jersey once in a while. I'm pretty sure it's
I live
not
in Denver. And, yeah, you know.
I think it's actually a Tar Heels jersey that he wears. But I love this. Listen, everybody who knows me well knows that I'm not a huge fan of Taylor Swift's music.
Right.
It's good music. She's a great writer. She's an incredible artist.
Right.
Very talented.
She knows what she's doing.
It just doesn't ring with me. But these two put together a couple of parodies.
Yes.
As we started talking about in the beginning. And I thought, oh, I could listen to Taylor Swift's music now. This is pretty great.
I remember when we broke up the first time. You said you're a dumb hake, I've had enough. Cause like I dip a lot of Grizzly and get drunk, and I get my clothes from Walmart. What? Then you come around again to say, baby, I miss you and I'm tired of L.A. Trust me, your city boyfriend turned out freaking lame. I say, I'm busy, I'm plowing, you call me, come plow me. Oh, 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 you're begging for my homemade shine. And oh, 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 this time, go say it to the chicken coop. We are the never, ever,
that's
ever.
That's Thomas Mack.
Getting back together. Oh,
weird, weird.
The other
never
guy.
Ever gonna eat KFC together. So don't talk shit about my mom and this whole town and Joe Diffie.
See, now, if I dated a girl that talks shit about Joe Diffie, it's done. It's done. And if I ever meet a girl who doesn't know who Joe Diffie was, God rest his soul.
Right.
That's probably done, too.
Right.
Joe Diffie was good old country, and then fucking COVID.
Right.
Or hospital, whatever. Yeah, he succumbed to his injuries, but he was a John Deere Green kind of guy, and he was one of the country guys in the 90s who kind of took the country dynamic and made fun of it a little in his songs, like John Deere Green.
Yeah.
You know, talking about writing, you know, you and your girl's name in the water tower, 6 foot high letters. He had fun with it. Tracy Lawrence did a little bit, but this.
He's got that feel, yeah.
This Cooper Allen has that feel. He's got it updated. If you listen, here's an admission. I have a closet problem with, like,
it's not that closeted.
It isn't, but
just saying.
Well, I can't
call you out
now. I can't remember the name of the damn movie. The girls, they're singing. It's a cappella. It's really
pitch
great.
Perfect.
Thank you. I am a Pitch Perfect fanatic. I love it. I don't watch it obsessively.
Here's a little bit of trivia for you, or not trivia, but information about Tommy and why he likes this stuff. He was in choir. He was a band nerd.
I was more of a choir geek.
Choir geek more, yeah, absolutely. So I'm not surprised that you're into that kind of movie. Mm. And why you like The Greatest Showman and why you like some of these other
True story. Movies. I had to be forced into The Greatest Showman. And then once I right. was there, I was done.
Now you're a big promoter of it.
I did. It's a great it's a great show. Plus, he did all of his own singing.
I know.
And I didn't know that he had that kind of talent. Just like Gerard Butler in Phantom of the Opera, he sang a majority of that music.
Yeah.
And now he's fat, which is so weird.
He's got his own band out in Australia.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me. But this Cooper
him
guy.
Him and Hugh Jackman are actually pretty good friends.
I can see that. Well, you know, it's funny, more and more like Hugh Jackman, Gerard Butler, and then it just fell out of my head. My day is just going right.
The Hemsworth brothers are also in that.
Right. There's another guy who's, he did the thing with Gaga.
Oh, Bradley Cooper.
He wrote those songs. I think he wrote several of the songs that he sang, and he sang them.
Yeah.
Great, great artist. I didn't know he could sing until The Greatest Showman came. Or, not The Greatest Showman. A Star is Born.
Well, yeah. Well, not a lot of people didn't know that he could sing.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Although I knew from interviews that I had listened to with him that he was into that. He was always been a theater nerd.
Ah.
So he, you know, had to at times in his life had to be in musicals.
Here's, and it'll touch politics for a quick second, but when you listen to folks on the right or the left, doesn't matter where. Well, I'm not going to partake in so and so's whatever. Because of their political beliefs. Well, I'm not that shallow. Always.
Shallow is better.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you did that. So think about this. If you're a conservative and you say, well, I'm not going to participate and give money to and watch these things. Well, your TV screen is pretty much going to stay blank because Hollywood, by and large,
yeah.
is pretty left.
Yeah.
And music, more and more, including country music, is swinging more left. Now, the artists and the music itself isn't, but the business models are all kind of leftish.
Yeah.
And so if you were to just do that, who are you hurting? You're not hurting those artists. You're not hurting those industries. You're really just robbing yourself of being in a position of...
Right. Yeah, I mean,
art.
I've said on this show, and I make it very clear, I do not like Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
I will not, from here forward, I'm not going to go to any of her comedy shows. I'm not going to,
sure.
because of the shit that she pulls on The View.
Mm-hmm.
But going backwards, she put out some really funny fucking movies.
She had great movies.
She was great in The Color Purple. She was great in Ghost. You know, I'm not taking away from what she did.
Right.
And even her comedy acts before this, but from here forward, I am no, because I can't.
I'll watch it, but I'm certainly not going to pay for it.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's just like, okay, people have their own feelings about Lady Gaga, and she's part of the whatever. She sold her. I don't know. She's
one of the Pfizer
Illuminati, and she is a Pfizer advocate. But I don't care. Her music is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not all of it. The fact that she's odd, that's cool. And, you know, I don't care what she does in her personal life. She's a pretty good actress. She, you know, not all of her music is great, but I like some of her songs. They're catchy. I don't know what they all are. Well, she's part of this. I don't know that. If you can show me proof that she is, you know, part of some occult member and her music is somehow influencing me, and you can prove that to me, but they can't.
Right.
It's just people making shit up. But if we as a society were to split ourselves away from that and not partake in you know, music or culture or whatever.
What you're just saying is pretty much what they were trying to tell us back in the day.
Right.
We were listening to music and they were telling us it was satanic. Was it really?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Because I've never thought about...
So I'm not buying into Lady Gaga's trying to get me to do this because of her song.
Or because of what she does in her personal life.
I'm stronger willed than what you're telling me.
And let's be honest. I mean, some of her songs are odd, sure, but a lot of them are real catchy. And listen, she's making money because she's doing something right.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Sam Smith fan.
No.
He's got some catchy tunes.
Well, even that one that everybody hates right now, Unholy.
Unholy. You know, I'm going to be completely open. That's a catchy freaking tune.
No, that's what I was going to say. It's a catchy tune. Yes, I get by the lyrics what they're talking about. Oh, yeah. I'm not stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still catchy.
Look, you know? If somebody would have taken that song and changed the lyrics but meant the same thing and they were to bring the beats per minute down a little bit and they were to change the tone or the tune
or sped it up
or sped
way.
It up, it would say the same thing. Basically, daddy's cheating, mama knows it, but she's trying to take care of the kids and raise them right, and dad's a freak.
Yeah,
isn't that every country song anyway? I'm just asking.
Go from
because,
a 1-2 beat to a 3-4
right.
beat. Yeah, it just changes.
Look, the video's pretty wild. And look, yes, I know a is. Lot of people are upset because Kim Petra is a German singer, is the singer that does the song with him. And
allegedly
is a transvestite, male to female. I don't know that to be true. I've never looked into it. I don't have a desire to look into it because I don't care.
Right, exactly. Well, that if you're going to say that about Kim Petra, we knew back in the day that Freddie Mercury was gay. Everybody knew that.
If you didn't know, you were lying to yourself or blind.
But he was one of the best, if not the best singer around.
I don't know that he could be compared to anybody today.
Right. I mean, so I listened to Queen because the music was freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Kim Petra and Sam Smith. They put out a catchy fucking song.
Yeah.
And yeah, it might have this undertones and this, you know, it's clear what they're talking about, but it's still catchy.
It's because of the word unholy. If they would have said something else,
if they'd have renamed it.
Daddy don't know, or mama don't know, daddy's getting whatever at the body shop doing something freaky. Instead of unholy, would it have changed how people responded to it?
Maybe.
I just don't know. You know, yeah, the video is pretty wild, and his Grammy performance, that was
intense, yeah.
The fact that this guy used to be kind of clean cut,
right?
You know, pretty boyish, almost like, who's the redheaded guy?
Yeah, I'm blanking on Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, if he'd have stayed to that Ed Sheeran, he probably still would be great. But suddenly the guy starts wearing women's clothes, comes out as non-binary, whatever. It's a good song.
Well, he had a conversation, allegedly. I don't know if this is true. He allegedly had a conversation with Elton John, and Lady Gaga was there. And Lady Gaga and Elton John's like, well, if you want to break away from Ed Sheeran in this class.
Right, the pretty boy stuff.
You're going to have to do something outrageous.
That's pretty well.
So, I mean, look at Gaga.
She wore a meat dress.
I mean, she's a little kooky.
Can
you
imagine the flies flying
around?
But
it worked.
It did work, because guess what? We're still talking about
Elton John did it with the duck suit and...
and the glasses.
And the glasses.
And
yeah.
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of Elton John's politics, but I like his music.
I like his taste in music,
too. Love his taste in music, and this is the thing about art. It's subjective. It's very, very much to the person who is consuming it.
Right.
However it is. You know, to get back to Pitch Perfect, you know, Cooper Allen's got this talent. And everybody's like, well, he's got that country swang. Yeah, he does. He got that bass, that baritone voice.
Yeah.
But he's talented in that, you know, in Pitch Perfect, there's a point where they do, I don't remember what they call it, but they're in the pool. And in essence, each team is given a topic or a subject, and they have to keep the music going.
Right.
And that's not quite the same, but they call it kind of a mashup. And then you've got this Cooper. See, I'm trying to call him Anderson Cooper now. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me.
That's what's weird. That's what we want to do, but your mind wants to go to Anderson Cooper, but it's Cooper Allen.
Yeah, and so he's got this talent to be able to I got to find it in here. I thought I saved it, didn't I?
I thought you did.
Apparently I didn't. So we're going to have to go to TikTok and hopefully not get in trouble. He's got mashups and the guy. Now, look, it appears to be that he is on the fly, but I just don't know that he's doing these on the fly. I'm trying to kill time.
I sent you a couple on Messenger. That's Cooper Allen and Thomas Mack.
While I'm looking for this, there was one from him that I really was just surprised by, because he wrote this song for his wife who he just married in September, September 23rd. It's disgusting that I know that. I'm trying to find it. Let's see where it is. Apparently, I didn't save it. This is where we're on the fly, so you have to be...
I could have sworn you put it in the bank.
I thought I did, but I didn't put a mashup in the bank because I figured I'd just play it straight from the phone.
Oh, okay.
So,
or the ones that you put in the bank are the ones we talked about earlier?
Yeah, so far we've only used two of them, but there's another one we can do while I'm trying to dig my way out of this. We can always just... some Nine Inch Nails for it.
It's one of my favorite mashups ever.
This will get you really screwed up. It did me.
Go shawty, it's your birthday. We gonna party like it's your birthday. We gonna
didn't see that coming, did you?
Like I didn't in the beginning, but...
And you know we don't give a fuck.
Whoa! Like I said, why does that work?
It shouldn't, but... Okay, I was able to find it. Karen, if you could, while we're looking, he just did a love song that he did...
Cooper Allen?
Yes. If yes. You can dig up the wedding song of the...
That's a great song.
It's an amazing song. We'll need to do that one, but this is... This is talent to me. This his girl, now wife, will jump in from time to time. Again, look him up, Cooper Allen on TikTok. This guy's amazing.
I think he's on YouTube also.
He is. And this, she'll come up to him and say, all right, here's the tune.
Make it country.
Make it, well, not only, sometimes she'll make it country, or you have to do a mashup.
Oh, okay.
And it's 3 minutes. You can't repeat any of the songs that you do. And they all have to kind of fit into this. This is incredible.
Everybody get up. I want you to do a 3-minute mashup.
I like this
one. No repeats and no breaks.
Okay. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Why?
Yes, who's back again checking. Here's the thing. We're starting out friends.
Speaking of Pitch Perfect.
Going off about something that you said, well, this looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, sing it, follow me, and everything is all right, baby, you light up my world like nobody else, when you're winding and grinding, love on the floor, oh, oh. Who's been and who's been under, everyone knows I'm into beautiful girls, that's why.
Thing I know, I know so many songs,
right? You don't realize how many you know until you do something.
There is no way
but to just get the words just keep flowing from one right into the other
and dump into another song.
I don't know, I've seen you when you've had a few beers, we talked about it on the last episode, that you do that shit all the time. You, when you're buzzed, when you're festive,
right,
you, we were walking down the strip, Las Vegas Boulevard, going to White Castle,
mm-hmm,
and you're entertaining Jeff and I by singing songs, and you would just go from one to another to another.
Really?
Yeah, you were doing that.
And
the whole time, me and him are laughing at you.
Was I making jokes about him, or?
Well, you would change the words, like you do.
I have done that. So, if you remember back in the day, the radio duo of Bob and Tom.
Yeah, they're still out there.
They are still out there. They're not quite what they used to be.
No.
I don't know if they're on a big network conglomerate or if they've been smacked a couple of times. But they used to release some pretty shady stuff.
Yes.
Parody-wise. Yeah. Now, my love for parodies started way back when my brother used to listen to KDZA, which at the time was like 50s doo-wop.
Right. It was what they considered oldies.
Oldies back then,
yeah.
Which is scary.
Because now it's classical.
Yeah, now it's vintage.
Vintage, that's the word.
And there was a song that wasn't a parody, but it was called Shaving Cream.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that song?
I do remember that.
And I remember just laughing about it. And nobody else thought it was very funny, but I did. And I don't remember what my first parody song was that I kind of went, oh, I see what, you know, they're doing here. They're making funny lyrics. And it would just kind of hit me, and I would say the first thing that come to mind.
Right.
And I think I found Shaving Cream.
Get out.
I think I did. Let's see if this is the one. Hopefully it is. It is.
It is it.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit.
You've heard this before. I know you have.
Last night when I walked into my bathroom,
I stepped in
a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean.
This is how old we are, because I remember saving up the cereal box tops. Right. If you saved up these cereal box tops, you could get that record, that little 45.
And it was a piece of cheap plastic,
right.
Almost.
Yes,
yes. This song, I must have been 6 or 7.
Shaving
I was laughing
cream.
So hard. I went upstairs to sing it to my dad. He had obviously heard it.
Right.
Then he introduces me to Ray Stevens.
Oh, geez.
So yeah. None of that's parody, though. That's all him. I don't know when the parody kind of went, I can change things, but I remember very clearly the song that made me laugh the hardest and got me in the most trouble. I was in 7th or 8th grade in middle school, walking down the hallway. And if you remember in the far hallway, you had the home ec and the shop on this side, choir and band, and then down the hall was the auditorium.
Yep.
I'm walking in that hallway, headed to the auditorium, and I'm singing this song that I
probably shouldn't have been singing.
Don't know how I heard it, but I knew I had heard it, and I knew it was Bob and Tom, but it was a Christmas. And it was, give me a second. I'll be able to do this.
Are you sure?
I am, because...
I'm blanking on all their songs, but I know that they used to put out some questionable.
Well, this one was bad because
parodies.
It's Lacey Things, The Wife Is Missing. Excuse me, let me change it. Lacey Things, The Wife Is Missing. Didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose, walking around in women's underwear. To me, that was hilarious. That wasn't. The only song I sang, because the other one I sang was the, this is the one, who was the athletic director? Folletta.
Yeah.
So he was the high school athletic director, but for whatever reason, he was in the middle school subbing or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think he was a teacher there part-time. Yeah. But anyway, I'd never gotten in trouble and had the teacher laugh at the same time. And it was, give me a second. I'm going to think this through because it's always the tune that I forget. So.
Okay.
I'm trying to come up with this Christmas song. Give me a second.
Maybe we move on.
You fill it.
I don't have control of the board. I just play another.
Let's see. We can always.
So we played the Sweet Home Country Grammar, right?
We did. That was the come in.
Okay.
We've played them all.
Oh, okay.
We got to have something more fun and exciting. Come on.
Because Tommy's
I'm
gridlocking over here.
Well, I'm just going to have to fake this one out because I don't remember what it is. But the point is that parody songs are just a way of, at least for me, of trying to, you know, have fun and be, I don't know if they necessarily paint a picture of who you are as yourself, but it is a way of expression. You look at Weird Al and he did, you know, Amish Paradise and he did Eat It and he did Mad.
Right. Constipation was another one.
Constipation.
that one was one of my favorites that he did.
You know, and then you look at, well, you know, Bob and Tom did Tom Petty, Free Ballin'.
Yeah, Free Ballin'. I remember that one.
You know, Bob and Tom were like radio in itself back in the day, before it became corporate, was
right.
A great place where you could always count on the morning show DJs.
To be a little wild.
To get wild, to be, you know, to wake you up, get you started. Howard Stern started as a morning show guy.
Yeah. Does his show in the morning.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have to.
From like 4 or 5 until, because he does 5 hours, doesn't he?
No, he does. No, he only does 4. But it used to be 5 hours.
Right.
When he first signed with SiriusXM. And they pretty much told him at the beginning, you know, you can go as long as you want, you can go as short as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to him.
I think he's just stuck to how many per year he does, right? How many shows per year?
Yes, that's true. He's only got to do 100 and so many shows per year.
100.
I have a list of Bob and Tom's number one songs.
Should that'd be a Christmas song.
Number one is Christmas song.
But if you were to go through them, just rattle them off. I'll tell you if I can hit them.
And it would have to be in the 80s.
That one was in the late 80s, yeah. So what do you got?
All right, I've got Blow Me a Kiss.
Oh, that's, you know what? We should pull these up as she's doing this, because if that one's the one I'm thinking of, this is where production.
I just found a list. I'm not sure if I can find them.
Well, I'm going to look.
Where you can find them in audio.
You ain't getting what?
And this is just called the.
Here it is. Let's see. This is an amazing song. This is Bob and Tom.
Looks like our girls have dumped us.
I guess it's goodbye.
Is there anything you'd like to say to them, Pally?
There sure is. Baby, blow me
a kiss.
Yeah.
As you're leaving. Blow me a kiss right now.
What else you got?
We got Dear Penthouse.
I don't know what that one is.
Okay. Well, 18 Wheels on a Big Rig.
Nope.
Dickens Cider.
Everybody loves a little Dickens Cider. Have you never heard of that?
And that's actually by the Love Brothers, but it was featured on their show.
Nick and Sonny Love here to tell you that we just bought the Dickens Fruit Company. For years, the makers of Dickens Orange Juice and Dickens Lemonade.
Yeah,
I remember
because
this,
we felt there was a gap in the market that needed filling, so to speak.
So, we asked the company's founder, Anita Dickens, to come up with a brand new apple drink. And before we knew it, we had our
Dickens Cider.
When she's really parched, say open wide.
You know, back in the 50s and 60s, that was a big joke.
Oh, yeah.
And that was very risque.
Oh, very.
That's where they played the double entendres.
Right.
That's how they got away with censorship.
It's exactly how they were able to beat their way around it. See what I did there?
Yeah, because we would be in big trouble if we were
used to say if you burned your finger, the best way to get it to heal was to just soak it in cider.
So yeah, soak it in cider.
A beer's much better than a woman.
Well,
amen. Oh, that wasn't a statement.
No.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a song.
I can imagine how it goes. There's a woman's version as well.
Yes.
The man's song.
Everybody knows the man song. Give me a quick second. I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Burp. Excuse me.
Oof.
Oh, I did it again. Sorry about that. The man song was actually not Bob and Tom, if I remember correctly.
No, that one
correctly.
Is Sean Morey.
Sean Morey. And I remember because I had just moved back to Colorado from New York. And this was just before I met my wife. And I was working at said radio station on the weekends and overnights. And this song came out, and it was only supposed to be played on the morning show because our the big manager ran the morning show, and he all the good stuff was only for their show. And I pretended that I didn't get that memo. And so when somebody requested it, I played it. Well, it was late enough at night. He didn't know it. And then when he found out, I got written up just for playing this song.
Yeah, that's not right.
It's a good song, though, because it it kind of tells how we feel. If I can find it, maybe it's not going to be your songs.
As you're looking that one up, I'll just start saying some more. We've also got Prisoner of Love.
You remember that one?
Man, I'm Glad I'm a Man.
That is a knockoff of Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Uh-huh. Head Shampoo.
That almost sounds like Adam Sandler at a medium pace.
Yeah, at a medium pace, yeah.
Sean Morey.
Okay, this
Ladies
is the man song.
And gentlemen, the man song.
He's the man.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Cause I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say yeah, right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man.
I think every man can live to this song.
Most of them, yeah.
Many of
what
them.
I say goes around here, right out the window.
Amen.
And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
That was the only thing
I can have sex
found annoying about Bob and Tom's show. Is that when they were playing songs like this, they're laughing.
They had their laugh
track.
But I understand why they did it.
Well, so that people wouldn't play it on their shows
exactly.
Or their own. Yeah, that man song got me written up. It was worth it.
That's funny, though.
It is funny.
That's funny as hell. Yeah. Let's see. I think I'm going to jump
Where did we go as a culture and as a society where we couldn't have a sense of humor about shit like that?
We could laugh at ourselves.
You know? Because now there's no way in hell with all the... Because if you go back to Monday Show, how you open Monday Show.
Right.
You can't call it the man song.
Oh, no. No, it's got to be the gender adjacent song.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how do you even manage that? Now, here's a song that I think most people, at least over the age of 35, will probably remember. And it's worthy of remembrance.
Jugs and orbs and darts and gourds.
Yeah.
Elmer Fudds and bouncing Buddhas. Sweater stretchers, lung protectors. Beach umbrellas, frost detectors. Scooby snacks and snake eyes dice. Jello molds and
I wonder what they're talking
lights.
About.
People who don't know this song are like, I don't get it.
Use 99 words for boobs.
All right, while we're playing that one, look up the booby trap. See if you can.
Isn't that a bra?
It's a song. It's going to be funny.
Trap.
I can tell it's going to be funny.
99.
But I've got, here's one
boobs.
That's clearly a Christmas song. It's called Another White Christmas.
Nope.
That's not it.
But if we can get to that Bob and Tom's Christmas song, I know I'll find the one that got me in trouble.
Find just their Christmas. Christmas in here so I can find.
Welcome to the production of The Unrefined Guys.
Hey, this is the most that we've ever just gone on the fly.
I want a boob job for Christmas.
Me too. Who doesn't want a boob job?
Mr. Obvious and the Christmas Tree.
What about the fur burger? No?
What about it?
I don't know.
Christmas letter to Bob and Tom.
No, doesn't sound familiar.
Open me first.
I'm just, there is a...
12 Days of Christmas?
No, God, that song
the
is
the Hodges' just, 12 Days of Christmas.
Stop it.
That's what it says.
Stop
reading it.
Stop.
You ain't getting diddly squat.
Well,
just the names are funny.
There's a fur burglar.
Favorite That's Christmas weird. Memories.
Oh, see, as soon as we stop recording, as soon as we sign out, we'll this song is going to come out of my mouth, and it's just going to be like I wrote it, but I didn't. But in essence, it's very bad.
There's one called Santa Clothes.
No, see, maybe it wasn't Bob and Tom that did the song. Then.
It's Christmas, and I wonder where I am.
I've had a couple of those. Get a little too drunk on Christmas Eve.
I haven't gotten drunk on Christmas Eve in years.
I haven't either, but I used to.
Yeah. We back in the day, we just needed an excuse.
And like waking up, hey, we should drink. We woke
up. You know
what
today is? It's National Burger Day.
Yeah.
Today is?
Peanut Butter Day.
No. I'm no, making just, shit up.
I want a burger now, you asshole.
Ouch. You don't want an asshole burger, though.
Well, yeah. It might be what she gets.
Be pretty shitty.
Let's see. Furgler Christmas tree. No.
Never what? Heard of it.
Parson Claus.
Okay, we're good on this.
Yeah, sorry. I don't think we're going to get it. She's okay. Just going to keep rattling
There's
out
a whole
songs.
Bunch of them on here.
I don't know. We just, okay, we find humor one. In the darndest things. There's times where I have never thought, like a song will be playing on the radio and words just flow from my mouth.
Right.
And I may have never heard the song.
Do you remember
before.
The words we made up to the Wizard of Oz? If I only had a brain? Dude.
Vaguely. I do remember.
One of these days we'll have to
I do
that.
Remember I'm off to choke my lizard. Yeah. Wow. That just fell out too. It's just...
If you could only stand the pain.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Paging Richard Smoker.
Dick smoker, huh?
Richard smoker.
It's funny.
Don't be a Richard Cranium.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've pretty much wrapped this one out, haven't we? It kind of all
they
went,
some funny
it,
stuff.
It all kind of went to hell
to
when I tried to figure out the Christmas song that got me in trouble.
Right.
And wow. It's a great song, and as soon as we wrap this...
We'll put it back on here. I'm just kidding.
If we find it, we'll put a link to it on the website.
It's not... I don't know. Well, I'm sure you could find it because I know it's recorded. Obviously, you know, walking around in women's underwear wasn't that bad because there was nothing in there. But the one that I got in trouble for was, see, I keep thinking of just a piece of it and I can't come up with the tune. So it just ruins it.
Oh, well.
And I think you get to a point where we're beating off a dead horse.
All right.
If you like what we do, make sure you sign up and become a member. patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. And pick one of those tiers. Help us
go to video.
Bigger. Whoa.
Help us go to video.
Help us go to video, yeah. I guess help me get bigger is not exactly a great come on line.
Yeah, I'm trying to go right past that.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. Become a member. You'll get access to all sorts of exclusive content. And the more members we can get, the more exclusive content we can provide. We would love to get to YouTube and Rumble as quickly as we can. We need your help to do that. So head over to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. Also, if you're in the market for a good knife.
Real good knife.
An amazing knife. 100% money back. No, not money back. 100% warranty. Warranty. Look, I'm all over the place. This is
lifetime
why
warranty.
We should put shit on cue cards. But I think if we did,
then
we'd screw ourselves
good.
Up. Yeah, head over to RavenCrestTactical.com. Make your own knife. You can order one that's already pre-made. You can do all sorts of things. Custom make knife. It's got a 100% warranty. If you break it, they'll fix it. Doesn't matter how or why. When you're checking out, make sure you enter TUGS, T-U-G-S, for an exclusive discount for all of our TUG members. Even if you're not a member, you can use TUGS. We'll get you. And then hit us up on the socials. Give us some ideas. If you've got some old songs that you remember that were parody, let us know what they are. We'll enjoy reading your comments. And if it's good enough or bad enough, we'll read it on the show. Because,
it's bad enough, especially.
Oh, we want some good ones, but we'll have fun with the bad ones, too. Catch us on all the socials, Insta, X, Facebook, and we're on the web, theunrefinedguys.com. Enjoy your weekend. Or, no, I'm sorry. It's not
enjoy the rest
fun.
Of your week.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Clean up your mess after this midweek tug. It definitely got sloppy there at the end.
It did.
Till next time, I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And we are the Unrefined Guys.